We continue our study on the life of Elijah, serving our faithful God in this series of messages. Tonight, we are looking at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Our devotion for tonight is A Day with God. We have three thoughts for us tonight. A Day's Toil, verses 1 to 4. A Day's Trouble, verse 5. And A Day's Triumph, verses 6 to 7. The question is asked, how do we live life? And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians, how do we live our Christian life? The answer is a day at a time. We are such finite beings. We do not know what will happen the next moment. And so Solomon wisely advised to this effect when he said in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Interesting wisdom that Solomon wants us to see concerning life. And James, in James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, gave a similar advice. But he said something more. He says that the day with God is a blessed day, and you ought to be doing something good for Christ each day while he gives you strength to fulfill the ethos of the Christian life. And so James said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we would shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so the Lord tells us that we are finite beings. We don't know what the future is for us. We don't know what will happen to us the next moment. But the Lord tells us that we are to serve our God, do good. When we are saved, the Spirit of God comes and indwells us, and we have that ability to do good to the people around us. And you know, the Lord says that whatever good that you do for a brother or sister in Christ, for a brethren, for someone who do not know God, you share the gospel, there is great blessing awaiting you from the Lord. The 19th century Scotsman author Robert Louis Stevenson is reputed to have said that life is to be lived one day at a time. Anyone, he says, can carry his burden, however heavy, until nightfall. You begin the day early in the morning. You're able to wake up early in the morning and you get yourself ready for the day. And as the day goes on, wears itself out, you find yourself, your energy begin to wane. So he says, anyone can do his work, however hard, for one day. Anyone can live sweetly, patiently, lovingly, purely, till the sun goes down. Isn't it true? As the sun goes down, you find your energy level going down, your mind becoming weaker because the weariness of toil comes upon you. And you know, in these days where the air is not so good, we have the haze that is surrounding the atmosphere, you find ourselves you know, even more prone to tiredness and weariness. Jesus gave this advice to life. He summarized it in this way in Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, do not worry about life. Do his good will. Seek his honor first in all that you do, and he will surely take care of you. This principle of dependence upon the power of God to live our daily life ought to be lived out by his people. And we have a very good example here in our text in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, which you have read. This is the story. The school of prophets in Israel, led by Elisha, had grown. And there is a need to expand the facilities to meet the growing need. And so the enterprising students were personally involved in a building project, but they encountered difficulty when the head of the axe that was used to chop the trees fell into the water and was lost beneath the Jordan River. This extension project was jeopardized. But God was with them. He caused the axe that fell into the water to miraculously swim itself to shore from the depths of the riverbed. The building plan proceeded to his honor and glory. Every day lived with God is a life worth living, because you can see the power of God manifesting itself in your life as you lived for him, as you seek to do his will, as you pray, as you encounter the problems, the troubles that come in life, you find yourself lacking wisdom to solve. But we have a God who takes care of us, who enables us to be able to go through life triumphantly. And so these are the three thoughts for us today. A day's toil, verses 1 to 4. A day's trouble, verse 5. A day's triumph, verses 6 to 7. Verses 1 to 4. This first thought, a day's toil. This is a day's visit. Now we are going to be with Elisha and the students of this Bible school of Israel. Spend a day with them. So picture yourself in this, together with them, in this holy endeavor for the kingdom of God. And you recall that the days of Elijah, were dark days in Israel's history. The succeeding kings of Israel led the people to worship imported idols from foreign lands. And so there was persecution in the land. Persecution was great upon the prophets of God, whom God raised to warn the people of God's coming judgment because of their apostasy. God didn't leave his people without help, without hope. God sent his prophets, and he raised many of them in order that, you know, his message, his voice may be carried by these human instruments, human vessels, to the hearts of men and women in Israel. And so you see that this Bible school, no doubt, would be a main target for the enemies of God. Right? The land is already infested, right, with impurity, with idolatry. But God did not leave himself without his men. In every generation, God will raise up men and women to join the ranks, to serve him. That's why he said to Elijah, who was very discouraged after he was attacked by Jezebel, he felt himself alone. And the Lord said to him that, I have 7,000 men who has not bowed the knees to Baal. The Lord tells us that, you know, you are not alone in your walk with God. There are others who similarly love God, whom God protected, whom God placed his seal upon them to do his will, to be a witness for him. And so the Lord wants us to see that more men came to join the ranks of the school of prophets in Israel. And soon the dormitory had become too crowded. Verse 1 of our text tells us, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. The word strait means narrowness, a tightness of space. Accommodation has become limited, too cramped for too many people. Although this word is often used to describe a person's pain and distress, here it is used to describe physical tightness of space. But if you were to make a search of this word, you realize that this word strait, right, is a word that is commonly used to describe the people of God who are in some form of affliction. And in Psalm 4 verse 1, the word is translated in our English Bible, distress. Right? The King James Bible says in Psalm 4 verse 1, hear me when I call. The psalmist was crying out to God because he had some problems that he could not solve. O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. He knew that God would provide him a solution. Right? God would, in a sense, extend the space, right? Extend the limitations that is being imposed upon him. And so we want us to see that indeed the situation warrants that there is an extension of the dormitories. And this word is also used to describe oppressive political, economic, and military conditions suffered by a group, a people, or a nation. You see this in the book of Judges. And so this extension plan was to build further accommodation near the Jordan River. And Elisha was the man in charge, and so they sought his counsel. So, what was the response? He says, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. This was the request, right, from the students. Unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place where we may dwell. And so, Elisha concurred with their plan. He supported their plan. They requested his presence also to supervise the building program. Verse 3 says, and one said, be content, I pray thee, go with thy servants. And Elisha answered, I will go. And so the building program, the building project began. They were all very happy because they're going to, with the completion of this project, have more space to do their work. And it was all in a day's work of service in God's vineyard, which we want us to see. And no doubt they were prophets. Their duty was to know the whole counsel of God and to declare it to the people. But here you see them involved in a building project. It was a needful plan to be carried out, and there was enough skills among them to do the work. And you know, in any building project, if you are doing it hands-on, it's hard work. Right? They needed the building material and they were led to the vicinity of the Jordan River to cut down the trees. Well, life is not easy. Right? Jesus said, the Word of God said, when Adam and Eve fell, in the sweat of thy brow thou shalt eat thy bread. Right? You have to labor in order to be able to sustain yourself in this life. And you see the prophets of God doing this same thing. I recall there was a brother in Christ who said to me, my father and mother rise up early each morning when I was young to go to work and return in the evening tired. The toil of the day rendered them physically exhausted at the end of each day. Does it sound familiar to you? I believe this is our experience of life here in Singapore, or for that matter, anywhere else in the world. And they would share, he said, the distress and challenges they encountered at the workplace. And he shared with me and said that I could feel the pressure they were under to put food on the table for the family. That was how his parents brought him and his siblings up in their home. And he remembered his mother best, for she was a woman of prayer. Mother loved God, and she would spend time to pray while she was at home in her room alone, to ask God for daily strength and for help through the difficulties that she faced daily. And they would come back and he would hear stories from his father or from his mother of the difficulties that they have encountered in the day. And although this her mother is now home to glory, but you know what, her life provided an example to the son today. A day's toil, a day's trouble, verse 5, our second thought. But as one was felling a beam, and the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed while working. An axe head fell and flew off into the water. This axe was the needful instrument to get the supply of wood for the building program. And without the axe, the building program would be stopped, would be delayed, would be affected. Right? So it was a distressing time for this person who lost his axe head. And to make the matter worse, this axe did not belong to him. He borrowed it. He would not be able to return to the owner. And so he saw the axe being flung and falling into the Jordan River, and with the rushing water, well, he don't know where the exit would be. He knew that it's somewhere under the river, in the riverbed, but where is it? How to find it? Right? With the rushing water, it's dangerous. Almost an impossible task. What to do? I recall going fishing with my father. We had an echo sounder in the last maybe 15 years or so. Technology has it that we are able, you know, with modern instruments to have a screen that is able to detect what goes on beneath the boat. Okay? So you would be able to see whether it's a piece of rock as you drive by, a shipwreck, a school of fish. And so we can always locate that ideal location to let down the anchor and to let down the fishing line. We could almost certainly predict a catch with that. But for that particular student, right, it seemed impossible to locate the axe head. Elisha was alerted to the trouble, right, confronting the building program. It was a distress cry. Does it not sound familiar to you in your workplace? Right, a technical difficulty comes along, and whether it's a personnel problem, whether it's an equipment related, you find that a solution is needed. And oftentimes you find yourself scratching your head, thinking, what would be the solution to the problem? I recall during those 11 and a half years of work as an engineer, there were many occasions I faced with challenging work situations, and inadvertently, it was often a helpless situation. And I recall coming to pray in the workplace with another like-minded Christian colleague. Prayer was the key to problem-solving in my work life. And I was often at my wit's end, right? Pressure coming from every nook and corner. I was involved in high-volume electronic manufacturing business, and the manufacturing line must be fed with products to meet schedule. And sometimes our products were not delivered to the customer's manufacturing line on time, causing what we call line down. When there's a line down, the manufacturing line comes to a standstill because a particular product is missing, right, to complete the manufacturing process. And so the angry customer with the entire factory down, with their paid workers laying idle in the manufacturing plant, will be waiting for the product without promise of any delivery. That is just one example. In those anguished moments, what do? Well, you could only pray and ask God to provide a solution, wisdom each time to handle the crisis. And thank God that we have a Father in heaven whom we can call upon for help in times of distress. My testimony is that God has never failed to help each time I pray. What a faithful God whom we serve. He will not leave us to fend for ourselves. He is a present help in trouble. You recall the psalmist in Psalm 27, giving this testimony, how he understood that the presence of God is with him through life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. This morning we were studying the life of Jacob. Jacob has left his uncle Laban after 20 years. And he made a covenant with his uncle at Galit, whereby, you know, they would each go separate way. And there was a line, imaginary line drawn, that they will not cross the line to attack one another in any way. Right? It was like a truce. And Jacob could not go back. But the way forward was to meet with his brother Esau. And we all know that Esau hated Jacob because Jacob stole his birthright. I remember when the mother sent him away, the parents sent him away to the uncle. Mother said to him that if your brother's countenance would change, I would send word for you to come back. Right? But throughout that 20 years, there was not a word from Rebecca. And so we can, you know, deduce that Esau's hatred for the brother, well, is still so great. And now God is saying to him, go back. Go back. How would he face his brother? He knew that, you know, the brother is not happy with him. And when he heard the news that the brother is coming with 400 men, straight away, you know, we were discussing how fear gripped him. But before that, what happened? God showed him his angels at Mahanaim, the place where the Lord manifested his power. The angels of God surrounded him to show him that, you know, God will go with him as he fulfilled his will. But Jacob was still afraid. Some of us were in our Bible study this morning, and we saw how Jacob panicked. And, you know, we speak also about a panic attack. Right? Medically speaking, a panic attack is something that comes and causes a person to just become very, very stunned. Right? Could not do the normal things of life. Even stop breathing. You know, and we said the advice was to take slow breaths, to regain the composure. And we also said that there are people who die of fear. We spoke of the report in California when the earthquake came. The people were so fearful that their heart just freezed. Not one, but many of them. Many people died when they were faced with extreme calamity. And so the Lord wants us to know, you don't know what a day brings before you. Right? There could be difficulties that comes. But the Lord wants you to know that He is with him. And so Jacob prayed. He sought the Lord. The Lord showed him his angels surrounding him to take care of him. But he was still not convinced in his heart that God is able to take care of him. You know, and we also studied his prayer. Right, how he sought the mercy of God to help him. But after the whole episode, he still had no peace. He did not ask God what he ought to do. So he went back to his own devices. He went back to his own plan. And what did he do? Well, Jacob sent, you know, his first wife, Leah, and all the sons in front, right, in three bands. Then the second wife, Rachel. Then he was the third one, right behind. Okay. So he said that if you are the head of the family, you should be going in front. You know, why do you send your wife to defend you? Jacob was still depending on his own wisdom, although he prayed to God. Although he saw the angels of God, Right? He somehow has forgotten that God is with him. And it will happen to us also in life. Right? If we are not close to God, when problem comes, you know, instead of seeking God in prayer and believing that he will help us and to be still before him, to understand, right, what the Spirit would want you to do, right, you can panic and, like Jacob, right, send his wife, you know, his family on that suicide mission with him at the back. And so the Lord wants us to see that, you know, through life, problems can come. Difficulties can come. And what do we do? Well, we pray. Right? Psalm 27, verse 7 says, "Hear, O Lord," you hear the psalmist's prayer. "When I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." Jacob also prayed like that. Right? But he didn't believe that God is able to help him. But you see here how the psalmist believed. Understand that God is able. Right? "When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." So what he's saying here is that, you know, through life, there are situations whereby the closest people around you may not be able to help you. You are in that moment of crisis. And what do? Well, we have a God who is able to help us. And the psalmist cry out to God, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path of because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty." Sometimes in a day's work, right, you are faced with challenges that seem so overwhelming. What do you do? Not just, you know, in the workplace, but sometimes also in the home. Right? When you reach home, or if you are at home, right, challenges come before you. The psalmist said in verse 13, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So the psalmist prays God for being with him when the world around him seemed to be tumbling down. He sought the Lord, waited upon God through prayer, and God was his present help in trouble. Indeed, this son of the prophet was in distress when he called out to Elisha for help. What to do in that situation? A day's toil, a day's trouble, verse 5, and verses 6 to 7, a day's triumph. Elisha instructed him to cut down a stick, or cut down a branch, right, and cast it to the location in which the axe fell into the river. Right, the man of God, verse 6 says, "Where fell it?" And he showed the place, and he cut a stick and cast it in hither, and the iron did swim. What a remarkable statement. Our text tells us the iron did swim. The iron, by virtue of its weight, will surely sink to the riverbed. But this piece of iron could float and find its way to shore. How it was safely recovered! It was a happy day for this man who witnessed God's power in action to retrieve this lost axe head so that the building program would not be impeded. God is certainly alive. And this is what we want us to know, that we can depend upon Him to help us in the troubles of life. Troubles were turned to triumphs as God manifested His glory. We can only bow in humble adoration at the goodness of God in answering the distress call of His servant Elisha. Elisha is similarly helpless. Right? He's like any man. He's just like us, without strength, without hope, if God is not with us. But you see how the Lord was with Elisha. Elisha must have interceded in prayer, and God answered his servant's prayer. You recall during the time of the Acts of the Apostles, how Peter was captured by Herod and was cast into prison, waiting execution. And James had already fell under the sword. And the church prayed. Acts 12 verse 5 says, Peter therefore was taken in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And tonight, as usual, we have a whole list of prayer items, a whole list of items of distress, distress calls from every corner, different families, different people with different needs. What to do? You see how the Lord delivered Peter. God answers prayer. Dear brethren, the Lord wants us to know, with Him, nothing shall be impossible when it is in His will. Right? The Lord wants us to see, and I just rehearsed for you, what took place, how God saved Peter. Right? Verse 6 of Acts chapter 12. Verse 6 of Acts chapter 12. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined into the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly! Arise up quickly, and his chains fell from off his hands, and the angel said to him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals, and so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. So the gate just opened. Right? That was how, you know, this was the most a miraculous escape, prison escape that you would see. Right? And when Peter was come, verse 11, to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. It was unbelievable, right, for the prayer warriors that God answered their prayer in such a miraculous way. Right, while they were having the prayer meeting, they were praying for Peter, and here came Peter knocking on the door of the house. Right? As Peter knocked, verse 13 says, at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the door for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said that it was his angel. Peter came back and still they couldn't believe that God had answered their prayers. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. And he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Life with God, dear friends, is a blessed journey of his presence, protecting us each step of life's journey. We are not alone. Jesus is with us. Remember the hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's why we encourage our brethren to come and pray together. Because there's power with God when we pray. Believing prayer. And you see how the people in Israel at that time, right, they couldn't believe it, that God had answered their prayer. Right? Peter has been released from prison. But indeed, we have a living God, a resurrected Christ, powerful, able to help you. Does it not comfort your heart to know that you have such a God with you to help you in your day's journey? So that each time you begin your day, whether you know you may be beginning a new chapter in your life, whether it's a new job, a new institution of learning, you are going into some place new. And, you know, there are trials before you. Right? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. It may seem very dramatic for the iron to swim to shore. But it is a testimony to us of the reality of the living and true God helping us in our lives. This is the same God who will manifest his presence for you as you call upon him through life's journey. In conclusion, when we receive Jesus Christ into our life, his Spirit indwells us. He is with us through life's pathways. A day's toil, verses 1 to 4. A day's trouble, verse 5. A day's triumph. Dear friends, our God is dependable. We can lean upon him. This everlasting arms of God will surely help us. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy mercy in showing us thy power, that indeed you are a God who is very present with thy people in trouble. So Lord, we want to live each day with thee, a day at a time, to experience thy glory in our lives. O Lord, as we go into a time of prayer, we ask that thy Spirit may fill us and energize us so that we may be able to pray for ourselves and for others who need our intercessory prayer. O God, may thou bless thy people present here for thy own name's sake. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.